News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Today's topic is Raymond Tejas, and we'll see about that. It's April 3rd, 2021. And Melissa, you seem to be in your place today.
Yes, I am in place, and I'm so glad summer's here.
Oh, is that what? Oh, that is what we have.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, but, you know, my little thermostat thingy, you know, recording thing at home, the thermometer recorder.
Yeah, I've up got, on the mountain, though.
But it's 90 degrees I got yesterday.
How
about them apples?
Jeez.
Anyway, welcome to the El Paso History Radio Show. The only place in town that really does this. And I'm now in year 21. Can you imagine that? Live on KTSM AM 690 and streaming live on Facebook. Our page is El Paso History Radio Show. Also streaming live on the Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When. And this is the place where we say Texas history begins in El Paso.
Uh-huh, okay.
You want to sing it now?
Oh, no, I'm not going to sing it, but I'll say Texas history begins in El Paso.
Yeehaw, go for it.
And I want to just thank you for putting me on here. And even though we are now live on Facebook, people can still listen to us streaming live on iHeartRadio by going to ktsmradio.com.
And you click on that link and you're all set there. History moment going today?
Yes, it's politics just seems to continue to repeat itself year after year after year. That's
what
this history moment's about.
All right.
1889.
More going on there. Okay, today's April 3rd. We got our guest as former UTEP professor, now teaching Chicano studies in California, and we welcome to the radio show. We got this. I can't hit the right button. Oh, there he is. Oh, Mario.
Oh, no.
Oh, Mario, call back. Mario,
did you disconnect?
I warned Mario I might do that. Mario, yeah, is that him back there again, Andrew? Okay. Anyway, we got. Let me just tell you who this guy is. Mario T. Garcia. He is a professor at Chicano Studies, and he is that you, Mario? No, don't do that. Okay. All right, go for it. Anyway, Mario's got a call back. Anyway, he's a UTEP professor now teaching Chicano Studies in California. Professor Mario Garcia, and we're talking about the career of Mayor Raymond Tejas today, and he is in. He wrote the book Garcia did. The Making of a Mexican-American Mayor, Raymond Tejas. And let me tell you a couple more things about Mario. We try to find him back. Mario, call us back. I blew it already. But anyway, he's a distinguished professor of Chicano Studies and History at the University of California, Santa Barbara. And he has published more than 20 books on Chicano history and won many awards, including a Guggenheim Fellowship. And the whole thing about him is he's got all kinds of history that he's written up on Chicanos, including this book that we got here in my hands. And this one is called The Making of a Mexican-American Mayor, and Raymond Tejas of El Paso and the Origins of Latin Political Power. And if you got him back, Andrew, let me put him on the air.
But it's an interesting book.
Mario, my apologies. I did manage to cut you off. I warned you I might do that. So welcome here, sir.
I didn't know whether I had been disconnected or not, but thank you very much, Jackson, for inviting me on the show.
Well, it's an interesting...
You know, El Paso, of course, is my hometown, and because of the pandemic, I haven't been able to get back there for well over a year. So at least this is one way of coming home.
It is. Go. And if you ask us any questions, we can explain El Paso to you if you need it. I'm just kidding. No, it's been kind of weird here, like I'm sure a bit. Now, you're in Santa Barbara. Is that where you are?
Yeah, I teach at the University of California, Santa Barbara.
What a hard place to live.
While you were disconnected, we did mention some of the things on the back of the book here. You're in Chicano history, and you've won many awards, including a Guggenheim Fellowship and the 2016 Stetson Kennedy Von Poppel. What is that? From the Oral History Association. Von Poppel. What is that? Say that word.
Well, that was an award given to me because of my association with oral history and social justice issues. And so it's a very nice award. I was very gratified to get it because I think a lot of my work connects with issues of social justice.
Well, the thing about the El Paso area is, I mean, it's a dominantly Mexican-American town, obviously. And the when Raymond Tellez, let's talk about him. When he was elected, that made a major sea change in the politics of El Paso from what, in your book, they were referred to as the Kingmakers. The Kingmakers finally lost. And one newspaper, the Times, was with the Kingmakers and did whatever they wanted. The Times printed it. The other guy, Pooley, over at the El Paso Herald Post, he did his own thing. Well, he ended up backing Tellez in that election. So that's the big deal. Raymond Tellez won. He was the first Mexican-American mayor in the century, at least, in El Paso. Yeah. There was one in the previous century. We'll talk about that. But the thing is, he was a major change in what went on here. Then he went on to be, he did that for 4 years, and he went on to become ambassador. Talk about his early life. He was county clerk. But before that, as a kid, he had a great upbringing.
Well, he grew up in South El Paso. His father was a brick layer, and he did a lot of construction work. Actually, his father built St. Ignatius Church in the South Side, and they had their home there. There was three children. Raymond was the oldest, and they grew up in a very disciplined environment. Their father wouldn't let them get into any trouble and so forth. He even had them learn how to box so that they could protect themselves, but they also emphasized a great deal of education. That's why Raymond was sent to St. Mary's School, which was just in the downtown area, because his parents felt that was a better education, and they also wanted a Catholic education for him. And then he went on to Cathedral High School, which is also my alma mater, and then graduated from there, and had hopes to go to college, but just didn't have the means to do so. So he went to the El Paso Business College, and there he got a training in accounting and so forth, and then started working at La Tuna Penitentiary just north of El Paso as an accountant. And then the war came, and he joined the military and served during World War II. Didn't actually see combat because they valued his bilingual skills, and so he was stationed in San Antonio for most of the war, and he was helping to train military personnel in aviation from Latin America. Not that he flew himself, but he kind of coordinated all of this whole program. And so when he when the war came to an end, he was well decorated for his services. He was an officer. He became an officer, and eventually he remained in the military, in the National Guard, and became a colonel. So that was his early experiences. But after the war, his father, who was very much of a political organizer also in South El Paso, felt that Raymond should run for office. And so they focused on the county clerk position because it was a countywide position. And they wanted his father and his others around him wanted to test whether Mexican-Americans could win a county election. They had never done so before.
Why was that? I mean, just did they never try?
Americans had been largely excluded from the electoral scene, and so this was the first effort to try to see if they could actually win in a county election. That was 1948, and Raymond Tellez, lo and behold, won. It was a huge upset.
Well, I guess the Mexican American population had never really tried this during that century.
No, not at the countywide office. They had won other smaller offices, Justice of the Peace. There were, in the early 50s, a couple of Mexican-Americans, aldermen or a city council, but they weren't really, they didn't really emphasize so much in terms of what the conditions were on the South Side, which was a lot of poverty, for example. And So Tellez was singled out by a lot of Mexican-American leaders that he would be their best hope. He was a decorated officer. He had a high school education. And to be honest, and I mentioned in this book, one leader said, and he said, he's also light-skinned, which tells you a lot about the issues of race and all.
Oh, my God.
They felt that they needed to get...
Really?
Percentage of the Anglo-American vote, and so they felt that he had the appearance, not only physically, but also his personality, which was very diplomatic. He got along well with people. He was not, kind of an in-your-face type of politician. So they felt that he was the best candidate, not only that 48 election, but then moving forward after he served several terms as county clerk to run for mayor in 1957.
Well, 57, I think I was 7 years old at that time. So I don't quite get – well, I remember the name because he stayed in politics off and on. He became ambassador to Costa Rica. He ran against Richard White, and Richard White trounced him. We'll talk about that in a bit. But in the meantime, going back to the early days of the mayor, Raymond Tejas, he had a barrio upbringing, but his parents were determined that their two boys – and I think it was just two boys, right?
No, three boys.
Three,
okay. He was they were determined that those children – we're going to get an education and get out of the barrio. Melissa, you got a thought?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that if we had more things like this, my parents were strict also, and I think it was a benefit in many ways. A lot of people go, well, yeah, they were really tough and this and that, wouldn't let them play in the streets with certain kids, but those kids were in a bad situation. I think if more kids could have had that strength and that push from parents today, I think we'd be in a lot better place.
Yeah, probably. But the way he grew up, he actually was sent out of the barrio to go to school, right?
Right, like I said, he attended St. Mary's, which was in the downtown area, and then he went to Cathedral, which is just north of the downtown.
Oh, and wait a minute, Cathedral, you're one of those too, aren't you?
Yes, as I've mentioned,
I know.
From Cathedral, well, very proud alum, I must say.
I have.
When I was in high school at Cathedral, that's when Raymond Tejas was mayor of El Paso, and those of us at Cathedral and who recognized that he was an alum, we were very, very proud of the fact that someone from our school was the mayor of our city. And so we were quite taken with Raymond Tejas.
Well, the thing about Cathedral, if people don't know what Cathedral means, that is the largest single fraternity in El Paso, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot of proud alums out there. That's very true. Probably some of them are listening to your show.
They're everywhere. I mean, it's an interesting crowd of people. And that's a band of brothers. It really is. But the point is, at that time in that era, and you were in high school, I was in grade school. So I mean, you got a few years on me. But the thing about this whole history is, I remember that man and his name, and then all of a sudden he left town. But let's focus on the early years for a bit.
Yeah.
His parents were determined in many ways, including they ran several businesses, and I think one of them is still in existence today, isn't it? The moving company.
Yeah, Ramon's Transfer. So his father, like I said, was a bricklayer, but in construction. But then he also began a transfer business where he would take furniture to people's homes, even across the waters and so forth. And it was right in the downtown area. And that Ramon's Transfer is still in existence today. It's now run by one of his grandsons. Rudy Tejas.
Rudy Tejas. Now, that's the name of a guy who was a producer for Carson?
Yeah, this is the other Rudy Tejas.
A different one. Okay, I still get those two guys mixed up.
Rudy Tejas was my classmate. He and I went to St. Patrick's Elementary, and then he went to El Paso High, and then I went to Cathedral.
You mean the Johnny Carson guy?
No.
This brother.
The grandson Raymond Tejas' father.
Okay, so only I am getting the Tejas' mixed up. That's good. You're not. Good. Well, you should.
Rudy Tejas, you may know, he used to work for KTSM.
Right,
and
right.
He had a very popular, in the late 50s, a kind of a dance show. I used to call him Hops.
Yes.
And it was patterned after the Dick Clark show out of Philadelphia.
But,
and it was very popular here in El Paso.
But no relation as far as we can tell.
No. And then, of course, that Rudy Tejas went on to California big time with Johnny Clark.
Oh, hey, I think he ended up retiring in Las Cruces or something, but that's a different guy, just so we know the difference there. All right, we're going to take a break here, Professor. Right. We got all kinds of stuff to do today. And I'm not done with the early years of these people because I was amazed when I read the book about what kind of history the family had. They pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps.
Yeah, I'm going all the way back to Ysleta.
And we're determined to do it. And so we're talking about the book. The name of the book is The Making of a Mexican-American Mayor and Raymond L. Tejas of El Paso and the Origins of Latino Political Power. We've got the author on the phone, Mario T. Garcia. You're in California. We're forgive you for that, but you make a living now doing that, right? That's where your job is.
Yeah, UC Santa Barbara. Well, you know, there was not much of an opportunity for me. I went to UTEP. Well, it was first called Texas Western. I graduated in 1966 from Texas Western.
Okay.
Now, no one has ever heard of Texas Western until you remind them that in 1966,
right,
Texas Western won the NAACP championships that are going on right now. And then the year that I graduated, after I graduated, it changed to UTEP.
I went there
so
the next...
I stayed and got my BA. Well, my BA was in history, and then I got my MA in history. And I had thoughts of becoming a university professor, but of course I needed to get a PhD. There was no PhD program here. And so I came to California, got my PhD at UC San Diego, and then I was offered a position at UC Santa Barbara.
Oh,
so
you...
I'm part of, and you may know this, I'm part of a historic brain drain out of El Paso, unfortunately.
Oh, sure. But I didn't...
A lot of us who have wanted to have better opportunities, and maybe and things probably have changed now, but in my time, that wasn't the case, and so we had to leave El Paso.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't realize you'd become a PhD. It's not on your book. I would have think you put Dr. Mario T. Garcia.
No, that's too pretentious.
Okay, got it. But you're there. You have made the leap into academia in a huge way. That's big. Good,
right.
Good for you. No, my hat's off to anybody that can stay in school that long. Good for you. I did 4 years and one at UTEP, and I'm done. And I've been in radio. Yeah. Who cares? Enough of that. But we're going to take a break here and come back. Melissa, you got some people on Facebook already?
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of people. In fact, I'm wondering if this person's maybe a relation in there to Tejas. Where is that? Oh, Sam Tejas is one also. Greg Schaefer, want to say hello to. Leanne Umberson, Keish. And then we have Susan Foley Aguilar, Ivan Jaquez, and Kathy Kudray. So we got a lot of people out there, you know, they're checked in and watching.
Beattie Burdett.
Yeah, Beattie Burdett and Bernie Sargent.
We have a
whoever
question.
He is.
He has some questions, and we'll answer those when we get back. A lot of people on Facebook, and Linda Hart Goggin, Harry Kirk. Interesting crowd here coming around, and we get a lot of people around the planet. Send us a message from wherever you are. I think we get Angie Salazar usually out of Colorado, and we may have an Arizona listener, too. Let's hear from you guys. Just say hey. Well, enough of that. Should we take a break?
Yes,
you can call it. We will take a phone call.
Oh, we're going to take a phone call.
And if
calls.
I don't screw it up, I'll put them on the air.
Don't hang up on me.
I just was one button
Everybody
off.
Everybody loves a butterfinger.
One
you know?
Button. Well, I did it accidentally on purpose, but I didn't mean. Anyway, enough of that.
All right. Call us again if you want at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-815-4342. That's 800-815-4342. 800-815-4342.
Now, use the power of radio advertising to connect with customers around the corner and across the U.S. Introducing iHeart Ad Builder Nationwide, a new way to advertise your product or service from coast to coast. It's the ideal way to grow your company from a local web-based business into a company with customers all over the country. Use iHeart Ad Builder Nationwide to create your own custom radio ad quickly and cost-effectively. Just click, listen, approve, then hear it on the radio. For a free, customized ad, sign up now at iHeartAdBuilder.com.
The border is in crisis. After President Trump secured the border with Mexico, everyone's worried about the growing problem. And why is the Biden administration spending $86 million on hotel rooms for captured migrants? Now, Grant Stinchfield investigates the... and finds the real truth about Biden's executive orders and dangerous policies. So watch Stinchfield on Newsmax TV tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern as he reveals the dangers to our economy and security. Newsmax TV is one of America's leading cable news channels. It's on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable operator. Tell them you want Newsmax or you'll switch to a new service. Remember, you can get Newsmax free on Roku, YouTube, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, and smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, or LG. It's even free on your smartphone. Just download the free Newsmax app and start watching anytime. Find out about the real border crisis on Grant Stinchfield tonight on Newsmax TV. It's real news for real people.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Did you hear that new sponsor guy go by with all the zeros in his phone number?
000.
I love that. 581-000. Call it, see what happens.
State Farm.
And it's Jake's cousin. No, enough of that. Okay, but I got to tell you about the El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook. You know about that. We have an email. If you want to get a hold of me, ephistory690@gmail.com. EPHistory690@gmail.com. Take a look at that during the show. Also during the week, if you want to get a message in there, or if you want to donate millions of dollars to us, yeah, use the email.
That would be nice.
We'll take care of that. Yeah. But anyway, on YouTube, we got a channel there, El Paso History TV. So you go to YouTube.com, El Paso History TV, and we have our series of El Paso Gold DVDs on there. And I've been doing this for 20 years, putting TV shows out there. We decided to put them all for free about a year ago. When the COVID thing hit, people locked inside. I'm saying, well, let's just give them the DVD. So the documentaries are all online right now at that site, El Paso History TV, on YouTube. Also, we got Mr. Bernie Sargent on there, 20 pieces that we did on ABC7. And that was, they ended up about a year ago, we concluded that. But they're on their archive for free. Go look at them. You'll learn a lot about El Paso in 3-minute clips that we put together. And on the documentaries on that channel, the Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso got 3 comments on Tuesday from someone named Nora.
Nora, yes.
Do you know Nora?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
No,
anyway,
no.
What a great post. There's one of them. And Nora also said, my dad's sister was married to one of Luis's Terraza's grandnephews. Okay. And here's another one. Nora finally said, her final comment was, El Paso has destroyed so much of his historic buildings. And that is sad. She's true.
That's
correct about that.
Nora's right.
Well, she is. And yes, she also put a comment on the Legends of El Paso's Mountains, my hometown. So the nostalgia and you're out of El Paso and you want to see what's going on, check out those things. That's El Paso History TV on YouTube.
That's right.
What do you got?
And the Centennial Museum is thrilled to announce the return of Florafest, the region's largest native plant sale. And this is going to be on April 17th and 18th. And you go visit the museum to select the plants that are right for your yard. Plus, there's going to be local experts on hand to answer your questions. Go to florafest.org to learn more about this event. And well, I tell you, it's a great event to go to. It's like a swap meet of plants. It's wonderful.
Okay, my turn?
Yeah,
your turn. Hey, let's talk about history again.
Yeah, let's go back to history.
Let's talk to Dr. Mario Tigre. I'm going to say that, Doc, because, like I said, that's a lot of work to get that thing. So good for you.
Well,
anyway,
I don't mind being called doctor or professor. But, you know, and some people do put PhD after their names. I choose not to.
By the way, we put a picture up on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it. It's John Kennedy and Raymond Tejas in the White House. How many reaches did we get on that, Melissa? I was about 85.
It was over 8,865 was my last.
Yeah, check. almost 9,000. Yeah. We're hitting to 9,000, and that's how many people have seen that promo since we put it up. I guess that was Wednesday morning. So
thank you for doing that.
Well, sure,
that's a great picture. A great picture of that Tejas with JFK.
Oh yeah.
Well, it was this is an official White House picture because we found it in the library up at wherever the Kennedy Library is. But the thing is, you've got some great pictures in your book as well. And I believe that's also a picture in your book. And the book is not that long a book, but it's worthy because you went in such detail on this man Teus's life. It's amazing.
Well, let me first say that it was an honor for me to write on his story, his biography, and you know, there was a first edition that we did in 1998 that was published by Texas Western Press. And then the new, which is the one you're referring to, is published more recently in 2018 by the University of Arizona Press. I interviewed Teus quite a bit for the book, and he was very supportive. But, of course, it wasn't that I had to write a book that he had to approve. I wrote the book based on the information that I had. But it was a great honor to work with him. He was quite a gentleman and a really distinguished person. So it was a great honor. And the book, you know, it is a biography of Teus, but it's also a biography of that historic 1957 election.
Oh, yeah.
It was just an incredible election. You mentioned earlier that, you know, about the kingmakers, you know. The kingmakers were the bankers and the big businessmen in El Paso, and they basically chose who was going to be the mayor of El Paso whenever the elections came around.
Oh, yeah.
And, again, at least in this century, no Mexican-American had been elected a mayor. And there's an interesting anecdote that I mentioned that I want to comment on.
Let's do this.
Made the decision to run for mayor, and he was a bit...
Mario, we got to take time out. Mario.
He decided to do it, and he went to visit Sam Young, the El Paso National Bank.
You can't hear me.
He was one of the major kingmakers. And he said, "Mr. Sam, I'm here to tell you that I'm thinking of running for mayor." And according to Teus, Sam Young almost had a heart attack after hearing that. And then he blurted out, he said, "No Mexican will ever be mayor of El Paso."
Oh, no, that's stupid. I was trying to...
He had to eat those words.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I bet he did.
I was trying to interrupt you, but I guess when you're talking good, you cannot hear my mic over your phone call. Anyway, we got to take another break here. Let's do this. Let's come back and talk about the kingmakers, because I knew a couple of them, and I got a weird...
And his brother, who was really kind of like the Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, well, yeah, we haven't gotten to Richard Teus yet. That's another matter.
Quite the character.
But then we haven't finished with the parents either. So yeah. There's a lot of history about Raymond Teus we need to talk about. But we're going to take a break here and come back and deal with this. And the book, Mario Garcia is the professor... on the line here, he wrote this book, The Making of a Mexican-American Mayor, talking about Raymond Teus. Lot to do on this book, a lot left to do. And one last question before we go to break here, Mario. Where do you get this book? Where can people buy it?
You could order it through Amazon. It's available through Amazon, but you could also order it through the University of Arizona Press.
Okay, fair enough. Taking a break here, come back in a moment. We will take a call or two if you can feel like dialing your phone. And if you got something relevant to it, because a lot of people knew Teus.
Yeah.
So we might hear from some of them. So
he was still around when we first moved here from California, from Arizona to California here. So yes, he was a familiar name.
Oh yeah, Holly Richardson was part of Richard White's office. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, that was when
That was an interesting 1970 election. Interesting stuff back in that day. All right, taking a break here. Call us if you need to.
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
Help the planet with a tip from iHeartRadio Earth. Space heating is responsible for nearly 45% of residential energy bills. Reduce your heating use while you're at home by turning down your thermostat between 5 and 8 degrees. You'll save money and energy while doing some recharging of your own. When we all chip in, our world becomes a better place. Brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/earth.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention! Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-399-5446.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
There are new forms of the coronavirus. Just what we needed, right?
Yeah. So we wondered, are we doing enough to protect ourselves and our son?
Turns out we are. Because things like well-fitted masks, 6 feet of space, avoiding crowds,
all of that still works. And getting vaccinated, you know, when it's our turn.
COVID may not be letting up,
but neither are we.
We can do this. Learn more at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, everybody, it's Gianno Caldwell. You may know me as a national political analyst, but today I'm here to tell you about my new podcast series, Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell, the sworn enemy of PC culture. I'll interview national guests from all walks of life and real people discussing issues on culture and politics, as well as the controversies that have social media blazing. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Listen to Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell every Monday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're talking about the mayor of El Paso in 1957. That would be Raymond Tejas. And it's a book about him. We're getting on to that. And we have several callers lined up to talk about that. And first of all, an announcement or two. With Celebration of Our Mountains, the 2021 programs are ongoing. And Saturday next week at 10 a.m. on April the 10th, Live Active El Paso and El Paso del Norte Trail Ambassadors. So there's a new group popping up doing stuff. They're going to walk the Playa Drain Trail. You know, I have no idea what that is. Maybe somebody.
I know what that is. That's, in fact, I was just down by it on Escarte Park.
You like to walk in the drain?
Sure. I walked in the drain up in the Upper Valley.
I see. But anyway.
I'm kind of a drainage person.
These guys at the Celebration of Mountains are going to do a hike next week. Get a hold of them. And you can meet at Capistrano Park and wear a mask and all that stuff. But you can visit the valley. Next week. And you can also, on April the 18th, Sunday, you can visit the Valleys and Broad Canyon Petroglyphs. That's up north of I-25. That's an interesting thought. That's Sunday, April 18th at 9 a.m. For all this stuff, get a hold of Diego, Mr. Diego Tolbert at gmail.com, 525-7364.
Okay. We want to remind everyone to support our advertisers, and some of those advertisers today are Mission Del Rey Southwest on Lee Trevino, and they're open today and every day from 9 to 5 p.m., and they have great gifts like Native American jewelry, decor, and all kinds of different things, your home and office, and you can call them at 440-2140 or go to Mission Del Rey Southwest. MissionDelRay.com, MissionDelRaySouthwest.com.
I'll go anywhere.
I go somewhere.
Go somewhere.
And also, don't forget to contact our friends at Monterey Asset Management on their website at M1EP.com, and that's M1EP.com. And then you can also call for, you know, other services like rentals and selling your home. Call 915-588-1850 for Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services. He's an excellent realtor, and you can go to him for some homes and, you know, in fact, I just referred two people to him for rentals.
Oh, good.
So call 915-588-1850. Give him a ring. And we got a new sponsor. And that is State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson. He's like a good neighbor, but with a better phone number.
Ah.
And that, I read that one directly. They didn't even change it. Called 915-581-0000.
Just keep adding zeros to the answers. Yeah, no, good stuff here. Okay, we're talking about the mayor of El Paso in 1957, Mr. Tejas. And we've got the author of this book on the line here, Mario Garcia. Mario, we got some callers on the phone. Let's take a question real quick, all right?
Sure.
And we get back to the Kingmakers in a second. All right, Julius, we got Julius on the radio. Hey, Julius, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Morning.
We're surviving somehow. What's up with you?
Oh, boy. I just called in, first of all, to say hello to Mario. Mario was one of my, I coached at St. Patrick's many, many years ago, and Mario was one of my star ball players, football and basketball.
Loenberg, there you are.
Oh, it's great to hear from you, Julius.
Good hearing from you, Mario.
Yeah, Julius
long
is
time.
One of the great... Well, Julius Loenberg is one of the great coaches in El Paso's history, not only when he started at St. Patrick's, but he went on for many, many years in the high school, and he was one of the greatest coaches, I think, in El Paso's history.
Well, you got a question, Julius? You got a question for our guest?
Well, you know, I remember just a question here. Didn't Raymond Tejas and Rene Mascareñas, who was the mayor of Juarez, weren't they mayors at the same time, Mario?
Andrew, we got a picture of that one.
Yes, Julius, they were. And what's interesting, too, is that both of them, of course, were together at Cathedral High School.
Graduate of Cathedral, exactly.
Was also an alum of Cathedral.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember that. I remember very well. I was working, I was at St. Patrick's, coaching at St. Patrick's when Raymond Tejas was the mayor. I was going to UTEP at that time, to Texas Western, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Julius,
yeah, back in the 50s.
Interesting history there, Julius. Thank you for ringing up. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And, Mario, good luck to you. Get in touch when
thank
you get
Julius.
In town, okay?
Give my best to Irene.
Will do, son. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
You take her easy. Well, it's an interesting world we have here. We got more calls. We'll call on hold for a second. We were going to talk about the Kingmakers real quick. And the Kingmakers were the basically Anglo-Americans who decided what was going to happen. Were there any Mexican-Americans in the Kingmaker group?
No, not at all.
Oh, my God.
Because Anglo-Americans dominated the businesses, the downtown department stores, the banks, and so forth. And as you mentioned, one of the newspapers, the El Paso Times, which is a more conservative newspaper.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And the Herald Post, which did support Tejas, was a more liberal. But I say in my book that not a single establishment type or institution supported Raymond Tejas in 1957. The only exception was the El Paso Herald Post.
Yeah, Pooley.
Everyone else was opposed to Tejas. And that's why it was such a historic election. This was a grassroots election, heavily propelled by a tremendous turnout of Mexican-American voters that had never been seen before.
And they had to pay a poll tax.
A certain percentage of Anglo-American votes, but without this humongous turnout in the barrios and also in the Loire Valley, he would have not been elected.
They had to pay a poll tax back then, and that was,
yeah,
that was another problem.
That was an early version of voter suppression. You had to pay a poll tax. That goes back to the Jim Crow laws in the South, and of course Texas was a southern state, and so in Texas the poll tax was enacted in order to hinder African Americans from voting and poor people from voting. In Texas, it also affected Mexican Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Many of them were poor as well. You had to pay $1.75, and in the 57 election, the Tejas campaign had to deal with that. And you mentioned Richard Tejas got money from Mexican-American businessmen. He got it from Juarez businessmen. They gathered pots of money, and people who could not afford the $1.75, they gave him the $1.75. I once asked Richard, "What wasn't this illegal?" He said, "No, the other side always did the same thing." And Richard owned a lot of bars in South El Paso, and that became what I call the cantina strategy.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I read that.
Of course.
That's where they parceled out a lot of this money. And again, I said, Richard, well, how did you get away with that? He said, well, you know, when I gave a guy $1.75, for all I knew, he was going to buy him and his buddies a few beers.
That's right.
In fact, it was to make sure that they paid the poll tax.
Well, also, Richard Tejas also produced up when they started to give the machines to the South Side for voting the first time ever. They brought in refrigerator boxes that had been simulated to look like polling machines. And the rosary, do you know that? Tell the story about the rosaries.
Yes, well, let me first say that in the 57 election was the first time that electric voting machines were used in the South Side. They had been used in the North Side. And the Tejas people felt this was another effort at voter suppression because Mexican Americans had never had any experience of going to an electronic voting booth. They didn't know whether they were going to get, you know, x-rays or who knows what else. So Richard Tejas, being a brilliant organizer, he was very different from Raymond. Richard was, you know, in your face, you know, real kind of brawler type, and there was nothing he was going to do to help. I mean, he was going to do everything to help his brother. So in order to deal with the voting machines, as you mentioned, he did a facsimile. They got discarded refrigerator boxes, and they made them into facsimiles of what the voters would see when they went to voting machines, and they put them outside the precincts and so forth. So they socialized, and it was very successful. And they had other tactics, like kind of like a rosary bead, but it wasn't connected. And they gave them out to voters so that when you went into the voting machine, the real voting machine, all you had to do was put the string along the list of names. And wherever you saw the bead, that's where you clicked voting for the Tejas ticket.
Oh, boy.
Wasn't that more like...
That was important because the people, of course, knew Raymond Tejas, but he was running on a ticket. At that time, people ran on tickets in the mayoral election, and Raymond had been, with a lot of difficulty, finally was able to get 4 Anglo-American aldermen to run with him.
Let's stop right there.
The people in the Navajos didn't know their names, so those beads were important as to where they would have to click for the name.
Mario, we're going to stop right there for a minute, and because we're going to come back and deal with this. It's an interesting story. But I knew 2 of those aldermen. Interesting crowd there. All right, back in a moment here. We're going to take a break and come back. We've got 2 interesting callers coming at some. Stay there. The phones are full. So if you're trying to call us, hang tight for a couple of minutes till we lose the line here. Anyway, shall we just take a break and come back?
Yes.
3, 2, 1. Back in a minute. Go.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-815-4342. That's 800-815-4342. 800-815-4342.
Staples helps you get back to business with custom printed signs and sales materials. Now get 15% off signs, posters, or decals when you spend $75 or more. Offer ends 5/29/21. Exclusions apply. Limit 1 per customer. See store staples.com/signage for details.
iHeartRadio with the latest info about slowing the spread in 2021.
As more and more of us are becoming eligible to get a COVID-19 vaccine, Medicaid and Medicare's Dr. LaShawn McKeever says vaccine competency is key.
We want to help move that path by providing the vaccine at no cost, by addressing affordability, accessibility, and vaccine hesitancy.
Dr. McKeever wants us to know that these vaccines are safe.
Everything you need to know at cdc.gov/coronavirus.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot to talk about there with the Taos crowd here. Got a couple of announcements real quick. McGoffin Home, we always try to put a plug-in for them. It's a state historic site in El Paso, the only house museum in El Paso. And take a look at down there when you can, 533-5147. Call for an appointment. I think they're making tours now these days. And you got a quick thing about Crystal
yes,
Ray.
Yes, I do. I want to let everybody know Mount Crystal Ray's annual religious pilgrimage and the path up to the mount, up the mountaintop will be closed this weekend, April 3rd and April 4th, Easter Sunday, by the orders of the Catholic Diocese of the state of New Mexico. But if you want to learn more information about when they might open again, call 915-252-9840 or visit MountCrystalRay.com.
Good thing here. All right, got people on the phone here to talk to you, Professor. You ready?
Okay, sure.
All right, here we go. Bobby. Bobby, got you on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Bobby.
I just wanted to let you all know that I met Mr. Davis when I was a reporter at the El Paso Times in the late 1980s. At a function where he spoke before a pretty large audience. And I was struck by the fact that he was such a not self-important and a real gentleman. He was an inspiring speaker, very positive. And not being the first Mexican-American mayor doesn't take away from his tremendous achievement.
Oh, no.
A public servant. I had a good long talk with him, and it was just a pleasure to meet him.
Good.
And he gave me a great compliment, saying that my story was very accurate, and that has stayed with me all these years.
Oh, cool. Well, Bobby, so you were a reporter for the El Paso Times after the election, and he'd come back to El Paso.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, thanks for sharing that with us. Appreciate it. You take care.
Sure.
All right, see you again. Hey, Mario, we got some more people on the phone. Are you ready for this one? Her name is Rosa. Hey, Rosa, good morning.
Good morning to you, Jackson Folk, and the beautiful Dr. Mario Garcia.
There he is.
Bienvenido.
Great to hear you, Rosa. Rosa Guerrero is, of course, a legend in her own time.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
No. All of us are a legend. God made us all beautiful, and we're all fabulously great. I wanted to tell you that Raymond Tejas, like this lady that just called, was the most beautiful gentleman I've ever known. Beautiful. And Delfina, his wife, my son and I had the pleasure, well, the sadness, too, of going to his funeral at San Ignacio when he passed away. And it was very sad, but it was very full, believe it or not. After so many years, it was full, and you could see people that knew him from many years back because he touched many lives and opened many doors for us, Mexican-American, Chicanos, Latinos, whatever. And I want to thank you so much for writing a book about him and being so smart.
Thank you, Rosa. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to hear your voice.
Coming from
everything you said about Raymond Tejas and the other caller is absolutely true. I mean, I mentioned he was a true gentleman. He cared for people. He believed in social justice. He had no pretensions about himself. You know, even when he became the first ambassador of Mexican-American background, I mean, he never, tried to use that as a way of, you know, self-promoting himself. He was just a wonderful person. And he really, in many ways, was not a kind of classical politician. He believed in serving people, and that's what he did.
What he did, and he was beautiful and down to earth and so humble, and so are you. God bless you on your show, and God bless Jackson and
Thank
your
you.
Show. I wish I had a lot of money to sponsor the whole thing because we have too many interruptions and commercials. And I think If you have one or two big sponsors, you wouldn't have so many. God bless you and paz, amor y amistad.
Thank you. Rosa, you take care. Good to talk to you. I see you again. Well, Rosa Guerrero, obviously, as you say, a legend. I knew her in high school. I wasn't in her classes because it was that she did taught girls PE and stuff, but we went to watch. Anyway, so she let us watch.
I know.
They had modern dance. You wouldn't believe them dancing women and when they're 17 years old. I would believe it because I saw it. Anyway, enough of that. Rosa, a great person. Mario, we got about 2 minutes left in this segment, and we're going to come back after the news and keep going. But let me take a quick story on the Kingmakers. Did you add in there? Of course, you had Sam Young Jr. over at the Chase Bank, I guess it was. But did you also know about Matkin over at the State National?
No.
George Matkin. I don't think he was much of a Kingmaker. Great guy. But they were two fierce competitors in banks. Mm-hmm. They got their due one day when their grandchildren got married.
Oh.
They both had to go to the wedding and act nice. And I thought that was just a hoot. Anyway, one of them is my cousin, so I knew about this stuff. Anyway, the idea about Mr. Tejas, that whole story is something that needs to be told. You know, he'd make a great movie or a great biography on TV, don't you think?
Absolutely. That's why I kept the copyright. But who knows? You know, it would be a great movie because especially that 57 election was just groundbreaking. And then, of course, you know, when President Kennedy appointed him as ambassador to Costa Rica, that was a groundbreaking appointment as well.
And huge.
He continued to serve this country. He served this country under five presidents, and he was very proud of that.
Well,
the last one was Jimmy Carter.
He was a confidant to several of the presidents. They'd call him up just to have come over and have a chat because they liked
I was just flabbergasted when he told me those stories. I mean, he would be called in by Richard Nixon, you know, when Raymond was with the Economic Opportunities Commission.
Yeah.
Then later on, even first, LBJ would call him in just to kind of, you know, have a chance to express himself.
All right, and of course, Kennedy, before. Wait, there's our music. We've got to take a break here coming back after the news. Melissa, you're going to stick around.
Yes, I will.
You're not going to go in. And Andrew J. Polk in the control room, thank you for pushing the buttons and getting us on the air various places. He is Monday through Friday Talk El Paso host, and that's here on KTSM as well. All right, see you all after the break right here on the El Paso History Radio Show.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita, and by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.